I mean, sanctioning a university where people go to seek knowledge,
right.
And okay, I mean, that gives other countries, other powers, the right to sanction American, you know, universities as well. Mm. What kind of a world do we want to live in?
You sanction 70,000 plus innocent people upon a baseless claim that they might be directly or indirectly related to the IRGC, right? Yeah. So is this not injustice?
Imtihan, fitna, a test. And ghalaba ala washi. They turn over. We didn't sign up for this. We didn't want this to happen. No, we're not going to accept it. We're going to go back. No, I'm going to call my son to come back home. No, we signed up for being the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib, no matter what.
There is no student that is a terrorist threat to the United States of America. It's very interesting. It's what Sheikh said, right? He said that the threat, if there is one, the threat to the United States of America is the fact that this truth will come out and it will damage a system which is based upon falsehood and untruth.
These sanctions have empowered the line of resistance.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. Welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. I'm your host, Mudaffar Haidar. Here in the studio today, we have two very special guests. On my right-hand side is Sayyid Shahriar, the one and only. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
It's really good to have you.
Thank you for having us.
And here on my left-hand side is the illustrious Sheikh Mahdi Taib.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. It's very good to have you both in the studio today. Sanctions have been placed on the Hawza. The very first question I'd like to ask, and I think I'm going to take this question this way, is what does that mean?
Well, from our perspective, it means nothing. From the perspective of Hawza, we've always tried to learn and teach and preach. This is what we've done over the last 100 years, hundreds of years, actually. And we will do that again, and we will continue our path. We always had enemies who were against, you know, knowledge, who were against, you know, people to be aware of, you know, what they have to do. Mm-hmm. These sanctions, you know, means nothing to us, and we will, you know, follow our path, and nothing has happened to us. We're fine, alhamdulillah. Everything's all right, and nothing's happened.
That is a beautiful thing to hear. It is nothing. These sanctions are nothing. I mean, you know, America can't do it. Damn thing. Sayyid, what are your sentiments on this?
I agree with Sheikh here that this sanctions is something that has happened continuously. It is happening all the time, right? One interesting thing that I'd like to bring up is the fact that I believe this is the first time that they have sanctioned an educational institution. So it kind of shows this new low that they have come to, right? So before they were trying to say that the IRGC is a terrorist organization or things like that. This was definitely a new low. It was almost a desperate move.
Yeah, why would you sanction a university?
You sanction an educational institution. You sanction a university, which has students from over 130 countries across the world. It has 70,000 people, you know, and more affiliated with it. And so you find this reason to sanction them for what, over baseless claims?
What have the effects been on the students who are actually here in the holy city of Qom and here for the purpose of studying? How has it affected them?
Yeah. Well, as far as my students that I'm in touch with, they were, you know, studying their books, and they're still studying their books. They were, you know, writing and reading and, you know, going to the classes. Mm-hmm. They're still doing the same thing. And this is a university we're talking about. What do people do in a university? They study, mm-hmm. all right? And how crazy it is to sanction a university. Yeah. I mean, do we know what we're talking about? I mean, sanctioning a university where people go to seek knowledge.
Right.
And, okay, I mean, that gives other countries, other powers, the right to sanction American, you know, universities as well. Mm. What kind of a world do we want to live in? We are studying in Qom. This is what we've been doing for the last, you know, I've been doing it for the last about 20 years. And my students are doing the same thing here. And these sanctions, I'm not saying, you know, they're not I mean, everybody is completely fine. Some have concerns what's going to happen, you know, back home. Okay, that's normal because, you know, they go to their houses, they try to, you know, threaten them and make them, you know, into, you know, get, you know, intimidated and, you know, make them, you know, fear their sanctions. They have to try to, you know, make people fear their sanctions. I mean, their sanctions in and of itself, they're not going to do anything. And for a short time, I'm sure they're going to be, you know, chasing people and going to, you know, different houses. But eventually they'll stop because they know, I mean, this is a university. Right. And, okay, you sanction one university, we go to another university. Mm-hmm. All right? There are tons of universities here. Mm-hmm. All right? And my point is they know that sanctioning al-Mustafa is just a joke. Mm-hmm. You sanction al-Mustafa, they go to al-Murtaza. Mm-hmm. You sanction al-Murtaza, they go to Al-Jabbat. You sanction Al-Jabbat, they go to Al-Hadi. There are tons of universities here. I'm not saying nobody's, you know, felt, you know, threatened or, you know, feared. There are some people who felt, you know,
shaken by
the situation at the beginning, but right now, you know, everybody's fine. For those who know the history of, you know, the Islamic Republic, they've been sanctioning different entities and different institutions and different organizations in the, you know, and over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Yeah. All right? For us as Iranians, all right, we're completely okay with them sanctioning everything. All right? Because each time they sanction us, they help us grow. Each time they sanction us, they help us open our eyes and know our enemies better. Each time they sanction us, they make us realize how much they hate us, right? You know, no matter how much they try to tell us, to show us that we love you, we care about you, through their propaganda, through their media, or their speech. Right. With these actions, they help us open our eyes and understand that they hate us, and they're trying everything in their power to put us on our knees. And you know what? This is not going to happen. This is our time. And their era is over, and they have to witness a new era, and that's our time, the time of Zuhur, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah.
If I can jump in, one of the things that Sheikh, right, he eloquently talked about was this aspect of through their actions, we realize really how much they dislike us, they hate us, they have an enmity towards us, towards
Islam.
Because
they always try and show, you know, that they love the
Well, yeah, they, yeah, so they're always trying to show. So one of the interesting things is if you look at the unjustness of these sanctions, right? So they're saying that the university, Al-Mustafa University, is directly or indirectly affiliated with the IRGC. And because of this, we have decided to. Now, you sanction 70,000 plus innocent people upon a baseless claim that they might be directly or indirectly related to the IRGC, right? Yeah. So is this not injustice? Is this not the definition of collateral damage? Innocent civilians being harmed by these sanctions that you have put on a whole institution, right? So to kind of put it into context, so this, the university, all of a sudden everybody affiliated with the university is also potentially affiliated. I mean, there's a lot of, it's very vague if you look at the wording, potentially, probably, possibly, might be, right? So here, so the administrative staff now is potentially a threat. The teachers,
the
right?
Janitors.
Well, see, I'm getting there. So the teachers, the students, you know, the guy who works at the cafe, the guy, and eventually get down to the janitor, the guy who sweeps the floor is also a potential threat, right? It's just a totally unjust and like we said in the beginning.
But if you look at it, you know, from a different angle, all of these people are a potential threat for them.
Okay. Yes.
Everybody who's here. Everybody who's helping the cause here is a threat for them. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the history of Islam, you see that the kuffar used to tell each other and their followers to put Quran in their ears, all right? Not to hear the words of the Prophet of Islam, the Prophet of Allah. Not to hear him reciting Quran at night and praying to Allah at night. Why? Because they believed if you hear what he says, you'll end up following him. our fight with them is not a military fight.
Right.
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 This is what Imam Khomeini says during the time that, you know, they were, you know, fighting against the corrupt and horrible government of Shah. Some of the scholars believe that we have to take guns and, you know, fight with them in a military, in a way. Imam said no. Imam al-Khomeini believed that our guns is our word. You talk, you make people aware of what they have to do. That's it. People will follow you. That's what the Ahlul Bayt say. They say, لَوْ عَلَمُوا مَحَاسَنَا كَلَامَنُوا لَتَبَعُونَا. If they know the beauty of our words, they will definitely follow us. Then that is the problem, and this is the purpose of what they're doing under media, of their propaganda. They're doing everything not to let people to hear the truth. Because if people hear the truth, they will follow it. For sure they will follow it.
So you've opened up the discussion of jihad now, right? You're talking about the military confrontation and now the ideological confrontation. Really, this is a subject of jihad. So I have to mention this now. The Holy Prophet says the best form of jihad is kalimatu haqqin 'inda sultanin ja'ir, a word of truth in the face of a tyrannical leader. And that's why all of the people, technically speaking, are, in the long run, a threat to the taghut, to the tyrannical system.
You know, what's happening in the world right now, you know, is that they're trying to keep people busy with different sorts of entertainments and, you know, right, go play out there, you know, movies, social media, different platforms out there, you know, clips and so on and so forth. And the purpose is to keep their eyes on these cell phones and give them the content they want. Yeah. You scroll down and down and down and down and read what they want. Mm. And you're not allowed to hear and read what they don't want you to read and hear.
Right.
This is the reason, you know, they sanction Al-Mustafa. And they were going to sanction it, you know, sooner or later. They were going to sanction it eventually.
Yes.
And it happened today. But I would say, Alhamdulillah, the way I would say Alhamdulillah for them sanctioning us, you know, and other things, and that made us, you know, independent, and that made us, you know, believing in our powers, and that made us, you know, getting up on our, you know, own feet and doing everything on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And the sanctions that America has put on Iran and the Islamic Republic of Iran and the line of resistance here has empowered, these sanctions have empowered the line of resistance. These sanctions have empowered the people of this region. And now Al-Mustafa as a university, but I'm 100% sure that these sanctions will make Al-Mustafa a much better university.
Mm-hmm.
And it will make the students of Al-Mustafa much better students in the world, and will make the process of tabligh, the process of teaching, the process of teaching of Islam and preaching Islam all around the globe, the real and true Islam, al-Islam al-Asil, easier, better, and much better, inshallah. And this will happen. This is the promise of Allah.
It's very interesting. Again, I kind of talk about this injustice of these sanctions, you know, because of these kind of collateral damage which it has caused. Among students and among even families who are still back home, who've had to deal with, you know, this heat and this, you know, coming down of the, you know, intelligence agencies or the FBI or these guys and questioning them, bothering them, hassling them, you know, when their children they're studying Islam, they're learning Islam, they're learning, and like we said, it's an educational institution. Within some of the students that I spoke with, it has actually caused harm to them, right?
Right, that's what
students
I wanted to ask
that,
about.
Again, students that were innocent. They have nothing to do with any of these baseless claims that are put on the university.
Do you know any students who are like a terrorist threat?
No,
to
there's
the
no
people
student
of America.
There is no student that is a terrorist threat to the United States of America. It's very interesting. It's what Sheikh said, right? He said that the threat, if there is one, the threat to the United States of America is the fact that this truth will come out and it will damage a system which is based upon falsehood and untruth.
Mm.
This is what the threat is, right? And so this is, as Sheikh has said, right, that this is what they have decided to do is, okay, just shut down this Islamic ideology.
Mm-hmm.
from whence it is coming. This whole Islamic ideology, this Islamic revolutionary ideology is the fountain of knowledge, right? The headquarters. You know, because the propaganda machine tries to do what is to try to portray these sanctions as being something that is just and honorable and, you know, we did this to defend the people of the world. When in reality, it was a very unjust and very cruel, a very low, a very desperate thing to do, right? And so these students, a lot of them, they're not just single students. They're here with their wives. They're here with their children, right? Mm-hmm. So when all of a sudden you throw this huge net of sanctions across the whole university, right? And then apparently it's so vague that you can be fined between $250,000 to $300,000. For even stepping into some of these buildings that are affiliated with. I mean, it's really ridiculous, right, what they've tried to do. But these people with their wives, their children, innocent people have had to suffer. They've been studying here for 8 years, 10 years, in a certain course, right? They have an educational career that eventually I'm going to, you know, do my master's, I'm going to do a doctorate, then I'm going to go back, I'm going to do tabligh. And this thing has destroyed these educational careers of so many of these innocent people that have come under these sanctions. A truly unjust sanctions by the American government and a new low, in my opinion.
No, the word low is the right word to use, Sayed. Okay, so now we come to we have to start looking a little bit ahead now. Biden is here, hooray, you know, and maybe he'll remove the sanctions, you know, and people, as fickle that the general masses usually are, they'll be like, oh, see, he's the good guy, Trump was the bad guy. What are your views and your thoughts on this?
First of all, I don't think they'll remove any of the sanctions ever, all right? And they never lifted anything, any of the sanctions that they put on Iran either. They say we'll do this and that, and then they promise, but who can trust devil's promise?
What about the during the Obama administration and the
whole they promised that we would do it, but they never did it.
And what's interesting is
nothing changed.
So while they said that they were going to take sanctions off because of this JCPOA, right? The Bajam is the JCPOA. While they were doing that, they were adding sanctions on other dimensions. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, we'll remove two and then we'll add another six to your, you know, your list of sanctions.
And this is what the leader says. He says, okay, give me a line that we say, okay, if we accept what they want, they will stop there. Right. They're not going to stop. They're going to come forward and forward and forward until you change and become who they want. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to change. We're not going to change even a bit. All right, we're going to do what we're doing, which is completely fine. And let's divide this talk to two parts. One is the administration of Trump and the government of the United States that has, you know, sanctioned Al-Mustafa University. The other part is our people, the students of Hawza, and the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt all around the globe who are concerned about what happened. We know who the enemies are, right? لَتَجْرَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَوَةً لَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. These mushrikeen, the Israeli lobby, the Zionist system, they're the enemies of mankind, right? They're the enemies, you know, we don't want to talk about this right now. But our people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test us. أَحَسَبَ النَّاسَ أَن يُتْرَكُونَ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that, you know, they're just going to claim that they're believers and we're not going to test them? Can we believe that, okay, we're the believers, we're the good guys? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you're the good guys, come to my heaven. You're going to be tested. These sanctions, one aspect of it for us and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, those, you know, people who are not, you know, part of Hawza or part of Al-Mustafa, is a test for you to see whether or not you lose control, you fear everything, you know, you're going to get worried, what's going to happen to my children, what's going to happen to my bank account. Throughout the history of Shia, there were so many great scholars of Shia who were martyred by the enemies of Islam, by the enemies of Allah. Who's Shahid al-Awwal? Who's Shahid al-Thani? Who's Shahid al-Sadr? These are great scholars. Who's Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr? Who's the Shahid Hakim in Iraq, and the family of Hakims in Iraq, Shahid Mutahari, Shahid Beheshti, and all of these great shahada that we have. The scholars throughout the history of Shia, the governments, the powers were afraid of Shia scholars because of their tongues, because they would speak to people, and people believed in these scholars because of their actions. The credibility that they had was something that the superpowers, the so-called superpowers, they never had it. And because people believe in these people, these scholars, they buy what they say, and the last option for them is to get martyred like their a'imma. You know, the tyrannies of the times of the Ahlul Bayt, of the imams, of each imam, the so-called khalifas of their time, all right? They tried every possible way not to kill the imam, because they knew who the imam is. You know, Muawiyah tells Yazid that I know the people of Kufa will make Hussein, you know, to rise and, you know, do something against your government. Do whatever you want, but don't ever kill him. He has the blood of Rasulullah in his veins. All right? The Khala'if, they never wanted to kill the imam because, you know, because of them themselves, because they wanted to hold their position. But they ended up killing all of them because that was the only way. The only way is to kill this person. But let me tell you what, that is the best way for this school to grow.
Absolutely.
Imam al-Khomeini says, kill us. Our eyes will open, our nation will grow, and will realize what they have to do and who you are. So I think our people have to realize that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is testing you. He wants to see how attached you are to this material world. There's a beautiful ayah in the Holy Quran. Allah says, وَمَنَ النَّاسَ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. There are people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, you know, in words. يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. And there's a part, and then he says, فَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ إِنْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَشِهِ. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. If something good happens to him, he will be happy. Alhamdulillah, we're mu'mini, we have the majalis of Imam Hussein, we get to go and listen to the lecture and latmiya and the dinner afterwards and, you know, nazar and stuff. They're happy with it. But as soon as something happens that makes them a little bit worried, when asabatu fitna, imtihan, fitna, a test, and ghalaba ala washi, they turn over. We didn't sign up for this. We didn't want this to happen. No, we're not going to accept it. We're going to go back. No, I'm going to call my son to come back home. Yeah. No, we signed up for being the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib, no matter what.
Subhanallah.
We've signed up for this. And we're going to be the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And we're the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib and his wife, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, who stood against an army of oppressors all alone behind the door, gave her life to protect Islam. We're the children of Lady Fatima al-Zahra. We're not afraid of an army full of equipments, full of everything. And let me tell you what, today, we're fully equipped as well. They touch us, that will be the end of their time. That will be the end of their system. And they know this. They know this. There's an interesting thing that Obama says in his book. He says, every time that the senators come to my meetings and here and there, and they talk about the fact that we need to eventually attack Iran. After I exit the room and I go out, I start thinking to myself that maybe that's the last solution, the only solution, that eventually we have to do it. But that is the end of our dreams. We might end up attacking them, but if we do so, we'll end up, you know, destroying the system that we've built in America, the imperialistic system. Imperialism will end if they attack us. They know it. Today, as the leader said, launch one missile against us, we will answer with 10 more, all right? So alhamdulillah, Shia today is strong. The followers of the Shia system is strong. The Shias all around the globe, they also have to be, you know, strong and don't fall for the traps of shaitan and shaitanic people. Right. And alhamdulillah, they have to trust Allah, and they trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
No matter what the media says or some of the scholars, unfortunately, who are, you know, associated with their system, say, and try to, you know, deviate people's minds. Alhamdulillah, the Shia of Ali will remain the Shia of Ali.
Yeah. So for these people who think that Joe Biden perhaps is going to be better for Muslims, or perhaps he's going to remove the sanctions.
Probably,
gonna,
I don't know his history.
He's going to, right? Well, it's interesting. If you do a little bit of research, right? I wanted to go and check out this guy's cabinet members. Mm-hmm. If you look at the cabinet members that he's placing, for example, Secretary of Defense, or, I don't know, Homeland Security, CIA Director, and all, you will see that, no, this cabinet has a very anti-Iraq, anti-Syria, anti-Iran feelings and stances, right? So he might be saying, you know, to the world that, oh, I'm going to come become friends with Iran, but the people that you are setting up in your government are all, if not, let's say most of them are anti-Iran, you know.
Anti-Shia,
there you go, yeah. Anti-Shia, anti-Iran people.
You know, he has a phrase, he says, I'm not a Jew, but you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. Mm-hmm. I'm a Zionist.
Who said that?
Biden.
Joseph Biden says
that. Yeah. Sleepy Joe. He says, I'm a Zionist. Mm-hmm. All right. And I'm surprised how some Shias are happy with a Zionist being there.
Right.
It's because they don't know who the enemy is. We as Shias of Ali ibn Abi Talib, one of the things that we need to do is to get educated and know who the enemies are. Right. If you don't know who your who the enemies of Ali ibn Abi Talib of today is,
right,
then what are you going to do? You're going to end up being like the so-called followers of the Ahlul Bayt during the time of Ali, who left him alone. There are some of the followers, some of the companions of Rasulullah who believed Ali is the heir of the Prophet. Mm-hmm. All right. So after Saqifa, they came to the house of Ali. Say, Ali, we believe that, you know, you are the one. Mm-hmm. We were there in Qadir al-Khum and we saw what happened. And throughout the history, the Prophet of Allah in multiple occasions, not only Qadir al-Khum, in multiple occasions declared that you are the heir and successor of Rasulullah and Khala, right, and Imam and Khalifa. Amir al-Mu'min said, okay, if you believe in this, go and shave your head and come back tomorrow morning to my house.
Right.
They didn't
That's
show
all
up.
You have to do. All you have to do is shave your head.
Shave your head? Yeah. That had a meeting at that time. Shave your head, come to my house. Meaning that we're soldiers ready to fight next to this, you know, guy. Mm. They never showed up. They didn't come back.
Mm.
All right? And there were people who were known as companions of Rasulullah, or, you know, we might be able to say scholars today. They didn't know who the enemy is, or they knew who the enemy is. They didn't have the courage to stand against the enemy. Alhamdulillah, we have enough brave scholars, insightful scholars today. Allah wa la yahmilu hadha al-alam illa ahlul basar was-sab. If you want to be able to hold the flag of the Imam, the flag of Haqq, the flag of the truth, you have to be patient and insightful. Otherwise, you'll end up being with the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, unfortunately. A lover, yet not a follower.
Mm-hmm. It's been a wonderful show. I'm afraid we're out of time. I wish we could go on because it feels like the conversation's just gotten started. But unfortunately, we have to end this show. I want to leave you guys with this final message. And I honestly could not feel happier to be in the presence of such great and esteemed shayukh and sayyids. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that Allah has placed us in the holy city of Qom. I'd like to end with a message to the CIA and to the Zionists, because we know that you're listening. The first thing I'd like to say is this. Remember that Shahid Qasim Soleimani said, come, fight us. We're ready for you. If you start this war, we will be the ones to finish it. And I'm not saying this in a vindictive manner. Sheikh, alhamdulillah, and said, we're trying to help you. Dear Zionists, we're trying to help you. Every time you try and kill one of us, we become stronger. You killed our scholars of the past, they became shaheed, and today we're studying their literature. You know, their thoughts have actually become a school of thought in and of itself. So stop,
لا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. That's our advice for you. Back off. Just back off. It will be better for you. From myself, from Sayyid Shahryar, and from Sheikh Mehdi Taib, we bid you Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wherever you are.